the gift of spiritual formation is linked to discipleship. It just has this other stream to it or piece to it to say, if we're really going to be fully formed in Christ, meaning we're going to be like Christ, it's not just going to be about our activity being like him. Our attitudes, our thoughts will actually be like his. So spiritual formation is trying to get at the internal life that you and I live and trying to break down the reality that we hide behind layers. And all the while, we've got junk growing in the corner of our hearts. And so spiritual formation is, I think, some practices and some tools for our tool belt. That's not for everybody, but I think it is extremely helpful to help us get at what's happening in my internal world.
Well, hello and happy Lent, Coastline Covenant podcast listeners. I am excited to be bringing you a brand new podcast series that pairs perfectly with our new teaching series at Coastline, which is called Layers. I could tell you all about this series. I could tell you where the name came from and the scriptural basis for the name and all the ideas we're going to get to. But I just want to compel you to listen to this conversation that I had with Garrick, where he gives the whole vision of what the next 40 days are going to look like here at Coastline. I want to invite you to our Ash Wednesday service, which is tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. at St. Andrew's Presbyterian. That's going to kick off the whole Lent season here at Coastline, and this conversation will really help you see the vision for what we are trying to accomplish and what we hope you will join us in this Lenten season. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next week and every single week after that. Garrick, I just was thinking, we've survived the South Bay.
We have survived.
How does it feel?
It feels good. Feels really good. It was, you know, I don't know if it was ever in jeopardy. I hope I was never in jeopardy of not surviving.
At no point was it touch or go for you. It was just always going to happen. We were always going to survive.
But that. I do feel like I was given a lot of good information, and I feel like I was given a lot of good challenge as to how to look at the world around me and how I interact with it.
Yeah, it was a really fun series. Really got people talking and engaging with Coastline in a new way. We had so many things in terms of like the hidden gems and obviously the podcast and things like that. It's really fun to be able to do something different with this new series. And obviously we're going to talk all about that, but it's fun to still keep the Coastline DNA in two different series. And it just comes out different. I would say that one, I think we maybe even joked, like there was no like cultural engagement, core value for Coastline. But boldly biblical is spirit seeking, holy worshiping, fully family. I feel like that was like a really fully family, boldly biblical series. And now we're getting into maybe more of a spirit seeking, holy worshiping, but still very boldly biblical, still fully family. And how cognizant are you of our core values when you are planning a teaching series?
One of the things that we did early on that I think was Sean's idea that I thought was really brilliant was to really be thinking about our core values when we go to write series. And so there is an ebb and flow. And I think usually around the Lenten season, we're thinking about earmarking that time and space for us to write a series that's really focused or centered around one of our themes of spirit seeking.
So this is the spirit seeking one.
Yes.
And it's Lent. I mean, you'd expect that.
Yeah.
And Coastline has been around for, this is our third Lent, right? Would you say? But the second one we've really observed.
Yes. This is our second time doing Lent and having an Ash Wednesday service. Yeah. We keep saying three years, but we're coming up on 3 years. In my mind, like we had the launch team started in June of 2021 meeting weekly. This summer we'll be coming up and celebrating, in my mind, 3 years.
But it's our second Lent definitively. Because I was really scrubbing the Instagram yesterday.
Trying to figure it out.
When and where and how. What did we do for that first Lent? And it turns out last year was our first Lent.
Yes.
And that was Repent and Renew.
Yes.
You took point on that. That was kind of you, Michael, and Nikki.
Yep.
And there was so much.
Yep.
So for those listening who maybe don't remember a little bit about that, tell us what Repent and Renew was and how we at Coastline gave people tons of resources for them to be able to interact.
Yeah. Well, it's this series, like our series we just came out of, we call a layered series, meaning that we give way more opportunities than just come on a Sunday and listen. But we're trying to provide multiple avenues for our congregants and our members, our family members, to participate. And so that was one of them. And in that, if you remember, Michael and Nikki and I wrote the journal. And we had journal opportunity and activity. And really our focus was kind of like, hey, this is our first time celebrating a whole Lent, getting ourselves prepared and ready to celebrate new life in Easter. So we brought in the journal piece. We brought in the let's give something up. We brought in the, hey, let's read through the New Testament. If you remember that, we had a ton of people read through the New Testament together. All of that was really driven toward how do we begin to prepare our minds, hearts, and lives for this new life that we have in Christ.
Was new life the theme, the thrust of Repent and Renew last year?
I would say you could say that. I mean, I really do think it was the idea of stepping in and recognizing that we are limited and weak. And how do we become aware of that such that our hands are open and our hearts and minds are open to what God is doing in our lives? And when we become aware of that and offer ourselves to Him, that's where the new life happens. And that's kind of more of the renew side of repent and renew. So repent is like, Lord, I'm weak, I'm frail, I need you. And then that renew piece comes in of like, this is the road to being renewed in Christ.
So if you were to maybe sum up some of the big lessons you learned from doing a series like that last year, what would you say they are?
It's good for our people to do and try something new. Like, it was our first year doing a whole Lent and kind of wrapping the journal and teaching and a series around it, celebrating Ash Wednesday for the first time. I think getting people out of their normal rhythms and quote unquote routines that often become ruts, and giving ourselves, our staff included, and anybody at Coastline that participates with us in any shape or form, giving them an opportunity to step into something new that has a rhythm, that has a direction, can be so life-giving for them physically and spiritually. So I think that's something that we learned for sure. The other piece that I would say is we're always in danger here at Coastline of coming up with a lot of great ideas and then trying to do too much, and then therefore almost inviting people in. We just have to be careful that we give them a clear path and don't give them so much that it's like, oh my gosh, I'm buried.
Do you feel like last year we buried people? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so. I think it's just a constant question that we have on our mind of like, I think this year, as I talk about what we have planned this year, I think there's a lot of invitation and opportunities, but I don't think it's designed that everybody has to do everything. You know what I mean? So really creating a series where, depending on who you are and where you're at in the season of your life, you have opportunities to choose. I'm going to lean into this, but I'm not going to lean into all that is offered. Some people will, and that will be great, but it's just recognizing you're giving people an invitation into lean with us into this in a way that you can, without saying, okay, if you're going to participate with us in Lent, we've got 6 things for you to do that you have to do all of them. Because you know how that is. It's like, then I'm not going to do any of it. And I'll catch you when this series is over.
Yeah, and Thriving the South Bay was just the most recent one. And all the things we did involved food. Or like being outside and active in our wonderful environment. And with this series, it's not like we're doing potlucks and, you know, coffee shop dates. These are, you're saying yes to something a little bit more growing.
Yes.
Less fully family, more spirit seeking.
Like you're going to find the opportunities, I think, more in a good way stretching. So you might have to, you know, again, I think everything we're putting in front of our people is worth it. But just speaking to those that get a little, you know, agitated of like, oh my goodness, outside of Sunday, what are you asking from me? Well, I'm asking for you to step in. We are, as a staff, asking for you to accept one invitation.
And I think we talk about this a lot on the podcast, the idea that you get out of something what you put in. And if you want God to grow and stretch and transform you, if you are investing on just a Sunday, you are going to get 1/7, so to speak, return on your investment versus like a Tuesday group or a Thursday group or engaging with a journal or spiritual direction or going on a retreat like we'll talk about. And so I hope that people hear that we're not just putting things in front of you for you to do because we want you to be busier or even more captivated with Coastline. We want you to see the beauty of growth and transformation that only happens in the Lord. And you and I firmly believe that. But before we talk specifically about layers, I always love talking on these primers about what didn't make it. And so I know that the Lent series was a labor of love for you. And
yes.
I know that you and
Michael
Sean,
and Nikki.
You and Sean are a little different in the sense that if we were to give Sean a blank whiteboard and say, plan the next 11 sermon series, we wouldn't see him for 2 weeks and he would come out with a lot. You are a little bit more, you take your time a little bit more with things like this. We gave you a whiteboard and the same prompt. You'd come out with one incredibly deep sermon series, maybe two. Garrick, what didn't make it towards Lent? What aren't we seeing? And why did some of those things fall? And I think that will help people see why layers is what it is.
I think we began with the idea that we wanted to invite people into spiritual practices. Maybe better put, the practices we see Jesus practice, right? As we talk about being spirit-seeking. Well, Christ is probably, well, not probably, was the best example of what it means to be spirit-seeking. And so it began as a, hey, let's do a series on what we'd call spiritual disciplines or means of grace. Sometimes they're referred to, throwing out like, what are the practices of Jesus? And let's teach those and do those. And I think that's always a really great idea. And then you get one step in and you realize we're going to be inviting people into like 7 different practices. Each one of these practices takes a lot of time to
develop,
right? And it became, we were concerned that giving somebody seven things to do meant they were not going to do anything. And so we thought, you know, it's probably better to carve out a specific focus and not run with such a broad idea and have this week's on prayer and this week's on solitude and so forth. So that was kind of where we began with the practices of Jesus, and we ended up with what we have with layers.
Let's talk about layers. What is the specific focus of layers? If last year, Repent and Renew, it was kind of that new life on Easter, what would you say that answer is for layers?
Layers is written with the hope that we would teach us and our people how to open our lives to the Lord. More specifically, how do we open our hearts, our ideas, our well-worn patterns to the Lord so that there actually is transformation. To be transformed into the image of Christ, it obviously takes truth. Truth has to be part of the equation. But our partnership with the Holy Spirit in this is also part of the equation. And so the thinking was so that our people don't think like, hey, I'm worried and how do I beat worry? Well, I just know, you know, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And I quote that to myself, do not be anxious, do not be anxious. Well, that's one piece of the puzzle. You have to have truth to transform. But I think we all know that to really truly be transformed from the inside out, that you are a person who can go through the anxiety of life and carry less worry, you have to do some internal work with the Lord about what are the things that are my triggers? What are the, like, you know, when we go back to through the valley, I think we used a lot of that language, right? Or like, what are the things that set me off and how do I become aware of them? And then what does it look like for me to live into a Matthew 11, 28 style of life where I come to Jesus and say, this is who I currently am today. You're pleased with me today, but you love me so much, you want something even more better for me tomorrow. And so how do I begin to continue to lay down this thing that might be hindering my spiritual development, my walk with you, my passion, my devotion, my witness, whether it be sin or rather just be an attitude that is not helpful for your spiritual development and growth. So part of that is how do we open up the layers of who we are to the Lord. And that I have that sitting as like one of the first things that I have of the goal of this series, just to teach us and our people how we open ourselves up to the Lord.
Is there an answer you want to give now, or is it stick with us through Lent and we'll find out together?
Let that be a teaser to why is this series worth my time in the way that Surviving the South Bay was worth our time. Because I think a lot of people came in and got very excited about that series because it was real, it was practical, it spoke about my experience and my life. And Layers is going to do that. In fact, I think you're going to find that each week's sermon title is titled in the form of a question.
I love it.
You know, like, if I love God so much, why do I still sin? Everybody's dealing with that, right? So I think we're going after very practical questions and trying to give both a theological framework to answer the question, but then also, as I think we always do well at Coastline, what is the practical stuff that I can put in my hands and begin to think about and maybe apply into my life that's going to help my growth?
Question for you as a pastor, how often are you thinking about a sermon series like this or any sermon series and you think, I need to walk the line between theological knowledge and practical help? Because I think that some people come back at a church and say, it's too theologically light. It feels more self-help. Do these three things. And, you know, that's a little bit more prosperity gospel. But there's also the other side where it's like, you know, just love Jesus more. And here's how in the scriptures, then your life will be better. And so for you, Garrick, how do you find that balance of theological truth and depth, like you've been saying, but also I want to platform resources and things that I think will help you get there?
That is a really good question. And I think every teacher is grappling and wrestling with that. It comes down both on from a series standpoint. I think every good man and woman who steps into the pulpit, and we have kind of the shared approach here at Coastline, I think everybody is asking that, like, are we balanced between biblical truth and then application of that truth? And then that gets boiled down to a series and it gets boiled down to a sermon. I think to your original question, I think you've noticed in Surviving the South Bay that we allowed the theology to sit at most of the time 10,000 foot level and then really try to leave the back half, what I consider the back third to a back half of the sermon to be like, okay, where does this show up in your life? And I think this is another series where I think you're going to see that, where instead of the last third of your sermon being, and this is how we can apply it, I think you're going to see the theology there, because it's definitely embedded in a biblical worldview. It's embedded in the scriptures. It's embedded in the truth of scripture. And yet we're trying to leave space for it to linger and people to be able to ask questions about where this fits in their life, right? And again, it's, you know, if you're more on the reform side, you're more than happy to say, you know, if I just put more truth in your bucket, it's ultimately going to lead to transformation. Because I think my brothers and sisters that live in that lane also know that it's about application. They just put a heavier emphasis on the truth transforming you. But even Calvin, who is like the champion of that lane, you begin his institutes in chapter one, and he begins with what they call now kind of like the dual knowledge. Like, if we're truly going to grow and transform, it begins with knowledge of God. What Sean taught a couple weeks ago, you know, or maybe it was last week, Proverbs 1:7, like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Our knowledge begins with knowledge of God, knowledge, truth, scripture. That's the foundational piece. But even Calvin would argue that that leads to then needing to know thyself in order to know, what do I do with that truth and how do I apply that truth? So I might know that Christ is holy and I am not, but to be transformed into the image of Christ, I need to have the Holy Spirit inform me to know where are my places of lack of holiness. And I think everybody knows this. I'm probably preaching to the choir here at Coastline, but it's having that knowledge of truth and saying, okay, this is where I'm at. But then this is where you kind of get that series of layers. Like, you might know that you struggle with worry or anxiety or greed or anger, like an attitudinal sin. But then you have to go a layer deeper going, why? And this is where, you know, our spiritual directors and our MFT friends are so super helpful to us, because they're trying to help us see, like, where is this reality in my life connected to a past experience? Why am I designed or wired that way? In the fall, when I was a glass and I hit the ground, why did I shatter in such a way that my temptations were going to lead me toward these things? And then giving understanding of that, then you're able to give that to the Lord and say, okay, Holy Spirit, by your power, let's go to work in these areas. And that's really how growth happens. So getting back up to 10,000 foot level, it's knowledge of truth, knowledge of scripture, knowledge of God, for sure. That's where it starts. But the knowledge of self is so critical for that, not for salvation, but for that sanctification, for that growth. And layers is really written, I might be jumping ahead here, but when we wrote layers, we wrote it what I'm calling 3 weeks down and 3 weeks up. 3 weeks down into that kind of inward journey of who am I? Where is my heart? What are the things I'm aware of and unaware of? Where are the weeds? And then 3 weeks of how do I give those weeds over to the Lord? And how does the Lord begin to work with me to pull them out so that I'm actually not just trying harder in my own might, be more like Christ, be more like Christ, be more like Christ, but really changing from the inside, going, those things are no longer the pull that they once were, because there's been character formation with truth coupled with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Wow. I think...
Sorry, that was a lot.
No, that was really, really insightful. And I just was listening and I was very excited about this sermon series, because this is, I think, a need in the church, which is to not be afraid of some of those deeper things and not feel like scripture can't speak to those. Mm-hmm. Because I actually think it's a pretty weak view of the Bible to think that psychology and certain things that are going on in your brain and in your heart and in your emotions, I think it's a pretty weak view of scripture to say that the Bible, A, doesn't speak to that, and B, doesn't speak to how to solve those or how to resolve some of those issues. And I think what's really fun is we are doing it a very Coastline way. We are boldly biblically showing you practical ways that you can take things outside of a Sunday in order to experience real transformation and growth in your own life, which feels very Coastline. It feels like a need I think a lot of people have in the church. And a criticism I've heard is this idea that the church will present all of these things. You use the analogy of a glass shattering, which I liked. The church would say, your glass shatters. No matter what it is, it shatters. And that's how it breaks. And it breaks in your own particular way because of this sin in your life. Okay, go get some tacos. Talk to you later. Do you know what I mean? Like, the church, I don't mean to generalize, but I feel like it's typical of sermons like this to say, this is the problem, right? We all deal with it. Go in peace. But I really like how you're saying that structure of, we are going to spend some significant time fleshing that out, but we will also include things to help you. And I like that about our Lent series. And I feel like as we continue as a church, this is maybe going to be very typical of Coastline Lent, of we're going to present some things, They might be uncomfortable, but we're not going to leave you in that uncomfortability. We want to, as a church, walk alongside you and give you things in order to experience that growth and that transformation. Well, I think that's something that, again, people are really seeking. And I think that's something that I hope people can expect. And I think I'm kind of beating around the bush here because this is a little bit more of a can of worms, but this is, I would say, maybe spiritual formation like 201 or 301. We are talking about something that maybe people are listening and they say, well, duh, I have a degree in this, or I swim in these streams. But for some of us, this might be a little uncomfortable or even unknown. But this kind of all falls under that umbrella of spiritual formation. Some would say is a dirty word still. Some would say, oh, what are they talking about? So spiritual formation, this, that, or the other thing. So Garrick, you maybe are the guy to do this, maybe not. I think as the conversations continue on the podcast throughout this series, we will be talking to people who will talk a lot about spiritual formation. But from your perspective, is this series, quote, spiritual formation? And if it is, why, how, and maybe even flesh out like why you're comfortable with this and why maybe we should be too.
Let me start by saying you should probably ask this question to some of your other guests that are going to be on the podcast with me and with you in the weeks ahead. But let me give us, again, kind of maybe a primer into this. There's a great definition. What is spiritual formation? Given by Dr. Coe, who's at Talbot School of Theology, was heavy in starting the Institute of Spiritual Formation there. Obviously loves Jesus, is a good biblical scholar, and he gives a great definition of what spiritual formation is. I basically took his definition and put it in a little bit of my own vernacular.
Yeah, just before you go, Coastline, this is a audio medium. You can't see the outline here, but in front of me it says John Coe's definition, and then in parentheses, Garrick's version, like it's a Taylor Swift song. That made me laugh very hard. So anyway, this is Garrick's version.
yeah. And it's just because if I could read his definition, but he basically spends an hour and a half after giving the definition, breaking it down piece by piece. And that is a resource that I have in here. It is his kind of primer on spiritual formation. It is a 10-part lecture series, and each lecture is like an hour or more. It's wading in some deep waters, but what I love about it is you begin to see why it's important, the heart behind it, and you begin to see, you know, if you just Google spiritual formation, you get all kinds of crazy endeavors, and to understand that at the end of the day, spiritual formation is just about how are you and I formed in who we are, body and spirit, more and more into Jesus, to look more like Jesus, right? And I would say spiritual formation, like we would have used the old, and we still use this definition of discipleship, like I'm following Jesus. Discipleship has a focus on activity, external activity. I'm doing the things of Jesus, therefore I'm a disciple of Jesus. I think the gift of spiritual formation is linked to discipleship. It just has this other stream to it or piece to it to say, if we're really going to be fully formed in Christ, meaning we're going to be like Christ, it's not just going to be about our activity being like him, but attitudinal. Our attitudes, our thoughts will actually be like his. So spiritual formation is trying to get at the internal life that you and I live and trying to break down the reality that we hide behind layers. We come into church, we present ourselves, I'm good, you're good, Christ is good, let's go have tacos. And all the while, we've got junk growing in the corner of our hearts. And so spiritual formation is, I think, some practices and some tools for our tool belt. That's not for everybody, but I think it is extremely helpful to help us get at what's happening in my internal world. And so I'd give this definition: God's process by which we are conformed to the image of Christ, which means we grow more and more like Jesus in thought, attitude, and action, by our union with the Holy Spirit and in partnership with our own will and efforts, beginning in this life and continuing in heaven. God has a plan for growing us and rooting us in Christ, and we want to follow that. It's going to happen in a partnership between the Holy Spirit, who we're united with, who's the primary driver, and then our own activity and effort that's partnered with that, right? So we began, I think, this podcast by saying that growth is a product of, not solely, but is often a product of our own focus, right? If we're not willing to put effort, attention, focus into something, there's very little accidental growth in our spiritual life. So spiritual formation is just, I think, tools in our overall tool belt to help us go after how do I form myself so that my attitudes are actually like Jesus and not just me going, let's hide the greed in the corner and then present to everybody, I'm generous and I give and I give. And yet behind closed doors, I'm still really thinking all about myself and what I can gain or what I could get. Where spiritual formation is going after the layers of your heart that need to be worked on.
And it's so funny. I mean, just kind of a side note, you've been saying layers this whole time. It's a really good title for a sermon series that we're talking about all the layers, because there's the layers that we use to hide, the layers of things that are above the actual thing, and also the way that God often works in layers. I wonder, Garrick, if you were to be sitting at coffee with somebody and they listened to this podcast and they said, I heard your John Coe definition, but it felt a little bit heady. Can you, Garrick, sit and just kind of walk me through what it means in layman's terms? What would you say to them? How would you bring the definition down just one or two levels?
God, that's a good question. I didn't think it was up there, well, but maybe it was. Just try to simplify it. It would be, how do you and I actually change?
There you go. That's such a good question. And you said that in the beginning, you know, these are all formed, all these sermons are formed on the basis of these questions.
Yeah.
I think if you've been walking with Christ for a long time, that's a question you ask. Paul, he brings that in the book of Romans, which is like, why do I keep doing what I don't want to do? Who hasn't been there? And for a church to come and say, yo, we see you and we want to help you with that question, I think that's really, really meaningful.
It's important because I think there's a lot of people, I think we could all find places in our lives that we've just decided, this must be just the best I'm ever going to be in this area. Like, I'm better than when I began, and I'm not as prone to this or that or the other thing as I was. It's still an issue, and okay, right? And so I think it speaks to the hope that we have in Christ, that God loves us so much that he goes, great, you started at 2 and now you're 8 or 6, and let's go after 7.5 or the next step, right? Like, and that's what I loved about this definition. It's not only us being formed, but I think sometimes we forget that we're going to be growing in heaven. Like, we think about, oh, I'm going to be perfected. I'm going to have my glorified body, right? So I'm going to be sitting in perfection. What is there to going to be growth? But we know from being humans, if there's no growth, there's no excitement, there's no joy. And so I think there's still going to be growth in our own depth of understanding of being glorified and in our perfected state. There's definitely going to be growth in knowledge of an eternal God that we now get to sit with and walk with without the barrier and cloud of sin. And so I think in heaven, we're going to be eternally growing. So it's kind of like you're encouraging people to like, hey, this isn't like grow to the best extent I can and then fall into the grave and go into heaven and be done. Like, this process, your beginning of your own growth, is something that's carried on, I think, into eternity.
I've never thought about that. I think that's something to really process. But I'm going to go back to the first thing you said. It's all good. Somebody listening and thinking, well, I'm as good as I'm going to be, you know. And to that person, I would say, okay, you know, we all probably have that one thing that we think to ourselves, if I could just nail this thing, I'd be the best person. I'd be the best version of myself.
Yeah, I would really be the Christian I desire to be once I conquer this.
Yeah, and that, and I don't mean to shame the person thinking that, because I still have those thoughts, but that's moralism, right? I need to earn more for God to love me more. And I was processing with a leader this week, 1 Thessalonians 4, where Paul talks about sexual immorality and how we can do things to either please or displease God. And you had kind of mentioned, like, I'm at a 2, but in God's grace, you know, he's brought me to a 6, but he wants to see me at an 8. Maybe he wants your life to flourish at that 8 or at that 10, but he still sees you at an infinity.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And that's a really beautiful thing for the person listening to be like, yeah, I have that thing. And it's like, you're still loved and seen. And there are so many passages I can point to. At the end of the day, your flourishing is a good thing. It's not the end thing. It's not the only thing. And it's not the thing that will save you, but it's for your life. And when you flourish, your community flourishes, your family flourishes, your life flourishes. It doesn't make it easier. It doesn't make it necessarily so much, you know, no tragedy and no difficulty and no sadness, but it makes your life that much better when you flourish.
And where this fits into layers is this reality. Thank you so much, Hunter, because whenever you're using kind of metaphors, they always break down. You're reminding us that we are the beloved children of God in our growth trajectory. Wherever we find ourselves, we never lose our identity as the beloved children of God. That hits layers in, I think, week 3, Sean's going to be preaching about sitting in our weeds. So we need to learn the reality of what's there and what's in our hearts and what's in our lives that we need to be aware of. But we're doing it under this umbrella of a God who sits with us and goes, I see you and I see all that, and you are my child and I love you. And that's what gives us the freedom to go into the garden and go, dude, I got some serious weeds,
yeah.
right? Because otherwise you would just be scared and hiding.
Yeah, and your life wouldn't flourish.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my therapist recently, and he said to me, life is too short to be hiding all the time. And as Christians, I think that we think, well, there's eternity. So, you know, life is the longest thing that believers will ever do, because it's all there is after this, eternal life. But like, your earthly life still matters. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about your body, and your body is really, really valuable, and it really matters. And the things you do with your body, the things you do to your body, the way that you are helping your body flourish. And I don't mean health, I mean mental health, I mean sleep, and the ways in which that the things that weigh us down can physically weigh us down and emotionally weigh us down. And God wants you to flourish. And life is too short for you to not seek that path. But it's oftentimes scary. And I'm sure you've sat with many a congregant over the years who are just afraid to take that step. So what would you say to that person who's like, I want to change and I know God is pushing me towards this growth, but I'm just afraid to take that first step? What would you say to them?
I would say, as you always do when someone's taking a scary step, the end result is worth the leap. The end result is worth the step. And I guess I would encourage them to say, come participate with Coastline in this Lent series and season. Find one invitation to say yes to. And hopefully that will help you in that step that you need to take.
Let's talk specifics. If you're coming to Layers, if you're coming to Coastline this Lent season, what are we practically offering people in this series?
Here are a list of the invitations, and then you're going to hear about them kind of throughout the series. But just so you know kind of what's coming, obviously, we've got our Ash Wednesday service. That is going to be an opportunity to come and participate. And as we always do, we will encourage people to think about letting go of something during the Lent season. And reminding people, it's not letting go of something or not doing something just to not do it. It's not just a practice of self-discipline or self-control, although it could be that. More broadly, we give something up or give something over to really help us get our attention and our focus on Christ and what he's doing. And so my encouragement is, you're considering, hey, what am I going to give up? Am I going to give up something this season? Not just to pick something random, but what's going to help you focus? Again, give some of your effort, time, energy toward being formed in Christ. So that's going to be the first opportunity. The second one is, we're going to have a prayer that we're going to corporately pray together at the end of the sermon, all the weeks of Layers. So I'm super excited for people to step into that prayer. It's going to be an opportunity to open yourself up, to surrender to the Lord, and then embrace who you are in him. We're going to invite people to pray that prayer, not only with us on Sundays, but to pray that prayer once a day as an opportunity for a rhythm of, how do I open up my life to the Lord? There's going to be invitation to try or to experience spiritual direction, which is a brand new thing for a lot of people in our community. And I'll give a little bit more definition as to what that is in kind of our first sermon. Don't need to do it here, but there's going to be an opportunity where we believe in this so much that we, Coastline, the church, is going to pay for anyone's first experience with stepping in with a spiritual director. We partnered with Susan Johnson, who comes to Coastline, and a lot of people know her. She's awesome, really skilled in the space, and has this as her ministry and her calling. Her and two of her colleagues are opening up space and time. And so you'll be able to sign up for, and Coastline will pay for, you to experience and step into a session of spiritual direction. And if you're like, what in the world is that? At the end of the day, it's somebody who's trained to listen for what I would consider the fingerprints of God in your life in this moment, and maybe help tease out, what is the Lord up to in your life in this specific moment or specific season? I'm sure you'll hear more about that from Susan and others.
And maybe an upcoming episode of the podcast.
You got it. It's coming. And then I'm super excited about, we're offering a spiritual retreat, a one-night spiritual retreat, April 20th and 21st at Hilltop. So come hang out and have some fun with friend of Coastline, Lloyd Gilbert and Kathy Gilbert, but we'll be able to take about 25 people up there. And that will be, again, just more opportunities to learn a skill set and practices that will help you open your life up to the Lord. And then finally, as we did last year, Melinda did such a great job last year. Shout out to Melinda. We're going to give an opportunity to do a food fast again that we will encourage people to break in their community groups. So those are all the layers on top of your awesome podcast and our teaching series. I think anybody and everyone will find at least a place to lean in and take a step with us.
And that's the ultimate invitation, right? We want you to lean in with us. And as I get older and as I choose to try to be on a trajectory of growth, I find that when I push myself and sacrifice and take the time to actually do things, I grow. Mm-hmm. And I think that's basically the bottom line invitation here with this layer series, right? Experience God, experience transformation, but also push yourself to do one thing. If going out of town is a little bit nerve-wracking for you, that's fine. Maybe step into spiritual direction. If you're in spiritual direction and you love Susan and you know, love everything about that, and you say, well, I don't really know if I should go on a retreat with Coastline, go on the retreat with Coastline. You know, like there are ways for you to step in that are only going to benefit you and they're only going to benefit your growth. I think this is going to be really meaningful for a lot of people. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be a part of this. I'm really looking.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And Garrick, the last question I have is, Lent is all for Easter, right? We're talking about a great sermon series and it's good and it would be good in July or in September, but it's for Lent. And so we are gearing up, preparing for Easter. How do you hope that Layers helps people prepare for Easter?
I hope that people really sense that in some of the practices and some of the things that we've talked about, there's a renewed devotion, I would say, and closeness experienced in this kind of intimate, dynamic relationship that we have with Christ. And so as you experience that, and then we go to celebrate the marker of how we get new life, you know, Easter, Christ resurrected, that we would have even more eagerness for experiencing more and more of this new life that Christ has offered us that sometimes gets bogged down, should I say, in kind of the mundane or the everyday weeds of life. The end result of that is always going to be more excitement and more joy. And I think joy is just contagious. I think as we lean into Easter, that's my hope, that we would experience more of this new life that Christ has come and said, I'm a part of this and you're a part of this too.
It's almost a sequel to Repent and Renew, where last year the prayer was new life, and now the prayer is new life in your new life.
Yeah.
That in your new life, you would experience new life and new joy. And it'd be really fun for us to look back on Easter after it happens this year and say, what a joyful day that was for us. We all just experienced a joy of sitting at the end of a season where we were going through some transformative things as a community and mm-hmm. as believers. And mm-hmm. I think that'd be a really cool thing.
Yeah. And I hope that people just walk away going, at the end of the season, I'm excited about Christ because I have new awareness of him and myself. And I have maybe a new practice that yeah. also helps me maintain this place that I now find myself in.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I would love that. Well, I can't wait for this sermon series to start, and I can't wait for Ash Wednesday, which by the time this comes out will be tomorrow. So we hope to see you at Ash Wednesday service at Coastline. Last year, the Repent and Renew podcast, for those paying attention, came out on Tuesdays. These will come out on Thursdays, but we're putting this one out on Tuesday so people can get excited for Ash Wednesday and also Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Coincidentally, we have a 7:30 p.m. service on Valentine's Day. I have...
What? Let me ask you this: What is there a rhythm for the Hunter Megan Valentine's bonanza? Do you guys go big? Do you guys keep it small? What do you do?
That's a great question. It's gone up and down throughout the years. This year, I got Megan some gifts, but I was like really trying to see this movie, this French film that is coming out on Valentine's Day in America. It's called The Taste of Things. It's France's submission for Best Foreign Picture at the Oscars this year. I like food movies. One of my top five favorite movies is a movie called Babette's Feast, which is a movie all about food. And evidently this is Babette's Feast adjacent, according to my movie podcast. And so Megan and I are proud AMC Stubbs members.
Yes.
So I texted her. I said, hey, what if we went and saw Taste of Things?
Oh. Will you see that before or after the Ash Wednesday service?
6:40 on Wednesday. And she goes, Hunter, how many times do I have to tell you? it's Ash Wednesday. And I'm like, no. So we will be seeing it afterwards, unfortunately, after the day of Valentine's Day. I also have winter camp the next week. So we'll try to find something. What about you guys? What are you guys planning on?
We are very low key when it comes to Valentine's Day. So I usually get Janine a small gift and we usually go out to dinner like a day or two after.
That's
we're just
move.
Not even willing to fight the crowds or do that whole thing. Like we're just kind of keep it on the down low.
That is 100% the move. And so at Coastline, we celebrate Ash Wednesday on the 14th, and we hope you celebrate Valentine's on the 15th or 16th.
There you go.
So you can still love your partner and get ashes on your forehead. Well, thanks for listening. And we are so excited for Layers. I'm so excited for Layers. And keep listening. We're going to be just engaging with everything that we have going on. And that is that. So thank you, Garrick, for coming on. And
thank you.
We'll see you Ash Wednesday tomorrow.